Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to view our broadcast this morning. Hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a TV program that airs from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6 entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a view. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these MP3 file radio programs there. Also, Searching the Scriptures, TV files are there, and also a host of other Bible-related material that will help you in your study of God's Word. Please give a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. Our only desire is to have you to know God and why you need to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. Please, if we can help you in any way, please do not hesitate to call upon us. We are discussing the subject of sin. Today and next week, we want to talk about why do all men sin? One of the subjects which has been debated for centuries is in the religious world is why do men sin? The Bible could not be clearer on this point as to what God's Word says about man's sin. Let us read some passages as we begin. 1 Kings 8:46. When they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. Ecclesiastes 7:20. For there is not a just man upon the earth, none that doeth good and sinneth not. John 16:8. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. What then, are we better than they? No, not in no wise, for we have all before been proved, both Jew and Gentile, that we're all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3 and verse 10. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there will be no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin, Romans 3 verse 20. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, death through sin, thus death spread to all men, because all men sin, Romans 5, verse 12. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe, Galatians 3:22. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body, James 3 and verse 2. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us, 1 John 1, 8 and 10. All these passages and others that we could give him clearly state that all men sin. All responsible people commit sin, period. This issue has never been an issue among most religious people. This being the case, that no responsible person in this present age has any hope of heaven aside from the grace of God, the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and the obedience to the gospel of Christ and membership in the body of Christ. Please consider Ephesians 2:8 through 10, Romans 5:9 and 10, Hebrews 5:8-9, Ephesians 1 verse 3, verse 22 and 23, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, and John 14 verse 6. The just punishment for sin, even one sin, is spiritual death, according to Romans 6:23 and James 1 and verse 10. This means that no person has ever lived, nor will live, save Jesus himself, will be justified before God on the basis of living above and without committing sin. The issue which plagues man is not that we sin, that's clear. Not that all men have sinned, that's clear. The big question is why do men sin? Why do men commit sin? The importance of the issue. Some religious people think and argue that we've sinned because we have to sin. Is this correct in their thinking? What would be the logical consequence of such thinking that men had to sin, that it was inevitable that he sinned? Well, number one, God would be unjust. How could the true and pure justice of God condemn us for doing what we cannot help from doing? Did not God create us in his image, Genesis 1, verse 26, and Genesis 2, verse 7? When Christ lived his life without sin in the flesh, and he did, it proved it was possible. It also proved the justice in God in condemning the sinner, since man could live above sin, Romans 8, verse 3. Such thinking that man has to sin and must sin encourages a lack attitude about sin and iniquity. Birds must fly, fish must live in the water, and men must sin. Seems to all go together, doesn't it? No. Why should I worry about it? Why get all upset about my sin? It's a foregone conclusion, right? I'm going to sin. It's inevitable. So just relax and not worry so much. Just as the doctrines of Calvinism, total depravity, and eternal security encourage sinful lives, so does this type of thinking, that we have to sin. That's inevitable, and we shouldn't worry about it. If we cannot keep from sinning and cannot even know all the ways that we can sin, then to have any hope at all, we must devise schemes of pardon which are devoid of biblical repentance. But that would be difficult, since repentance is demanded by God in Luke 13, 3 and 5, and in Acts 17, verse 30. This is nothing more than a spin-off of Calvinism in understanding that man must sin and really don't have a choice because it's inevitable. That leads to two other false understandings, inherent depravity and sinful nature. Some say we must sin because of our sinful nature that we inherited from Adam. And they do try to use some proof texts, and there are two of them, and we will read them. The first one is in Romans chapter number 7, verse 14 and 18. Romans 7, 14 and 18. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells, for it will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. And then they go to the book of Ephesians, to chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 3. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Now in these two passages, the inherent depravity and sinful nature people think they have found their proof text. Well, in Romans chapter 7, is a Christian really carnal, sold under sin? Does not good dwell in the flesh of a Christian? Will we accept the thinking that our bodies are sinful while our spirits are pure? Not according to the scriptures, in Romans 6 and 12, and chapter 12 and verse 1, and 1 Corinthians 6, 13 through 20. No, one strives to follow Christ is not sold under sin, because we put sin to death, Colossians 3, 5 through 10. We become slaves of righteousness instead of slaves to sin. We yield ourselves to be slaves of righteousness, Romans chapter 6, 16 through 18. Does sin dwell in us only if we believe the delusion and only if we fall prey to the intent and the desires and the temptation that Satan puts before us? What about Ephesians 2, 1 through 3? By nature we're children of wrath. This was an acquired nature, not something we were born with, not something we inherited. This is something like second nature. It's something that we've learned by long-time practice. It's a bad habit that we've developed. What tense does Paul use to describe them? He says were. Were is a past tense. Dead in sins, Ephesians 2, 5. Without hope and without God, Ephesians 2, 12. When one's life is characterized by sin of the devil, he has no hope and he is dead in his sin. Can they give up the practice? Yes. How? By repentance. By turning away from sin. Acknowledging the sin. repenting of the sin, confessing the sin, and quit doing the sin. Don't live in it, don't participate in it, and reject it. How does those who are partakers of the divine nature, as 2 Peter 1 verse 4 clearly tells us, also possess a sinful nature? That seems to be a paradox. We would be at war with each other. Can we be friends of the world and God at the same time? Jesus says we can't in Matthew 6:24. James said in James 4 verse 4, friendship with the world is enmity with God. One is a child of God or he's a child of Satan. Some who say that we must sin say that we don't have a sinful nature. Pray tell, what causes us to be unable to live without committing a sin? What would you call it? If we have to sin, if we must sin, then it's something that overwhelms us. We can't say no. We have to give in. We have to cave in. No, that's just false teaching. What would you call that? I'd call that inevitable, and I'd call that a false doctrine. Don't you see a problem in consistency here, my friend? If we have a sinful nature, how can we change it to have the divine nature? Can one change long custom bad habits with good habits? Not only can he, I believe the Bible demands that he does. I believe the Bible demands that we be holy as God is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 and 16. We're to put on the Christian graces. We're to add to our faith certain things. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says we ought to walk in the light as he's in the light. Do we have the ability to do that? Do we have the ability to not sin, to rise above it, to not commit it, to reject it, and to make sure that we stay away from it in order that we might be right with God? You see, this inherent depravity or sinful nature is nothing more than trying to take away our accountability and to blame someone else. Do we lack the ability? Some say we don't have the ability to live without sin. Is this so? If we cannot resist temptation, then something compels us to sin. What would you call it? Human free will and free moral agency is being denied here. All sin is but to succumb to temptation. James 1, 12 through 16. We are enticed. We are enticed and we go after our lust. And when it's conceived, it brings forth death and it brings forth sin. We fall to the enticement. We fall to the allurement. We make the choice. Cannot one exercise his vote to say no? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, the Bible clearly teaches that God will provide a remedy. God will provide a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. Or can one overcome sin if they will apply the divine remedy? Saying we can't do it is just trying to escape personal accountability and blame someone else for our action. Man has tried to do that from the beginning of time in Adam and Eve's time. We can say no. We can refuse temptation. We can refuse the enticement. We can rise above it. And we can say no. We have no inherent ability to sin. We do not inherit an ability to sin. And we don't have a sinful nature. We developed it. We created it in ourselves by succumbing to sin and yielding to temptation. It is a moral choice that we make. Sin committed is because we want to, we desire to, and because we're weak, and we give in to temptation, and we give in to enticement, and we commit sin. Let's be men, and let's own up to our responsibility. Tune in again next.